bring greetings this morning in the name of Jesus, and a welcome to everyone, especially a welcome to our visitors. About 5-6 months ago, there was a request that came in for a message, and if I remember the request, it was, how can mothers evangelize their children? And I was thinking about that probably ever since that. Sometimes more, sometimes less. But I would like to this morning change that just a little bit. And instead of focusing on the mothers, including them, but focusing on parents. How can parents evangelize their children? And is it important to evangelize your children? When do you start? And what does evangelizing mean? The dictionary definition of evangelize has the thought of telling people about the gospel of Jesus Christ, being a missionary here at home or on foreign land, or being an evangelist, a preacher, one who specializes in preaching evangelistic messages. So that's the dictionary definition. But I'm persuaded this morning that being an evangelist, evangelizing our children includes way more than that, than just telling them or teaching them about God and about the gospel of Jesus Christ. It includes teaching with words by our example. It includes teaching and living with consistency. With illustrations of God's love and faithfulness. It includes illustrating with love the gospel of Jesus Christ, a love that is evident to our children that we love the Lord Jesus Christ. It is accepting our children, teaching them a healthy view of themselves, teaching them what pleases God. So if you want to, turn to Deuteronomy chapter 6. We'll read verse 4 through 9, and then 12 and 13. And why don't we all stand for the reading of the scriptures? Deuteronomy 6, verse 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy word, soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. Thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. Talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. Thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thy hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. Thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and on thy gates. Verse 12. Then beware lest thou forget the Lord, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. Thou shalt fear the Lord thy God and serve him and shall swear by his name. You may be seated. Now this was God's word through Moses to the children of Israel. the direction of God through Moses was, as I looked at this scripture, there was a lot of encouragement given to the parents, given to the parents of the children, that they would get their life in order so that they can pass on their faith to their children. The thought of more is caught than taught is illustrated in this scripture. Again, notice how much is talking to the parents and then how much direction is given to the parents to the children. Verse 4. The Lord our God is one Lord. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might. I have said this before, and I think I'll say it again. You cannot lead someone where you are unwilling to go yourself. You cannot lead someone somewhere, you can't lead them, if you're unwilling to go there yourself. So, the encouragement this morning is, if we want our children to love the Lord, if we want our children to get a glimpse of God and His love for man, then we need, as parents, need to illustrate by our life and example that we love the Lord, that we love God with all our heart, our mind, and our soul. It requires us, if we want to teach our children the love of God, we have to love Him ourselves first. A love that consumes all of our life. It's a complete surrender of parents to the Lordship of Jesus Christ will make it much easier for our children to get to the point where they can commit their lives to the Lord Jesus. Our whole life choices, our whole life and choices of loving the Lord our God with all our heart, mind, and soul, with all our might, needs to be brought through the filter of this loving the Lord. You know, I had to think of Philippians 4, verse 8, where it says, I thought I could quote that, but I know it's talking about, let's find it here. Philippians 4:8 is talking about the peace of God and keeping our hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And then it says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, lovely, good report, if there's any virtue and if any praise, think on these things. You know, it's an encouragement to this filter of running everything through the love of God is the thought I had wanted. Showing our children that this is the way to love the Lord. This is the way to live. Christ Jesus reiterated and taught this truth in the Gospel of Matthew and Luke, Mark and Luke. Matthew 22, verse 37, Mark 12, 30, and Luke 10, 27. So to love the Lord needs to consume our life. We need to show our children what it means to love the Lord. We need to, by example, number two is keeping the word of God in our heart. Verse 6, and these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. It's keeping the word of God in our heart, keeping the Word of God in front of our minds day after day, being aware of our thoughts and bringing them into the captivity of obedience to Christ. I don't know how many of you remember the couple verses I read Wednesday night about God. They're in Job, when about God asking Job some questions. And the reason I was challenged by that thought is, you know, at times we get to the point in life when we start thinking, and we continue to think. And that's, you know, we get into this tight little circle, and that's all we think. And sometimes those thoughts are not so good. And I was going through one of those times. And it you know, I think it was Thursday or Friday, I was driving down the road and I found myself thinking these same thoughts again. And I tried to, by the grace of God, to stop and just think on God. Be aware of our thoughts and bring them into the captivity of obedience to Christ. There is power in the name of God. And the battle wasn't over, I know that. But it did help me change my perspective of life as such, as I started to think about God and the greatness of God, and just Him being God of the universe and being in control. It, you know, it just takes away that thing of, I have to figure this thing out. So be aware of our thoughts and keep the Word of God in front of our eyes all the time. Keep it in our hearts. Verse 6. And now it goes back to teaching our children. Thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. What are we teaching? We're teaching the Word of God. We're teaching the ways of God. We're teaching how God is helping us. We're teaching this to our children so that they can gain an appreciation and a love for God. We back up just a little bit, back in keeping the Word of God in our hearts. You know, as we are commanded, living in such a way that our lives give testimony to the power and effectiveness of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That is our calling as parents. It changes not so much our circumstances, but our attitudes and outlooks. So that is the blessing of keeping the Word of God in our heart. Now we go to the teaching of our children, the truth of God's Word. It says here, thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. Diligently has the thought of whetting their appetite. You know, when we whet somebody's appetite, we make them hungry for something. We make them aware, and they desire to have that as well. That is what's happening here. Is as parents, we are teaching our children that they have a longing to have this relationship with Jesus Christ. We are teaching them that they can have the desire to serve the Lord and be in His presence day after day. We tell them of the goodness of God, of our personal experiences. We tell them of our past and our present circumstances. And we show enthusiasm when we start teaching. You know, it's hard to convince somebody to be joyful when we're the most sour person on earth. We just can't do that. When we start teaching about God, You know, let's be enthusiastic about it. Let's be excited that God is there. God is for us. Who can be against us? Teach them in a consistent way, you know, day after day. Be consistent. Constantly looking for and using the opportunity that life brings to us to teach our children the goodness of God. You know, these things don't just happen by happenstance or just be, you know, just, we have to be looking for circumstances, for situations that we can use to teach. And if we're looking for that, then first of all, we'll probably be taught ourselves. Thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. We are to teach the love and acceptance of God and his family to our children. Says here, when thou sittest in thine house. You know, when I think of sitting in my house, I think of relaxing. I think of just enjoying each other's company. You know, sometimes we get involved in reading or, yeah, doing our thing, and yet there's an enjoyment. We're not, the atmosphere is not chaotic or tense. It's peaceful. Thou shalt teach God to thy children when you sit in thine house. Sitting around the supper table is a wonderful time to create family time. It's a wonderful time to talk about the day and, you know, talk how God is faithful. You know, having family devotions is another way that is very, very good way to connect with your children. Talk about God on their level. Just enjoying each other's company. Sitting in our house, we are to teach our children when we walk by the way. Walking or working, we are to use the opportunities that we have to teach our children about God. You know, maybe our children, you know, sometimes they go through this stage where they just don't enjoy working. They just would much rather sit somewhere in the corner and read their book or play with their dolls or whatever. Use these opportunities that God desires for us to be productive. God desires for us to enjoy work, but we don't get so lopsided that we work all the time. Use opportunities to teach joy in giving up our own plans and wants, passions, willingly and without grudging. I just thought about a situation or a thing that happened back in our home some years ago. I wasn't there. So, and I'm not exactly sure who was all involved, but I do know that my wife had told my children that they are to go out and mulch the garden. And I think it was, they had wanted to go swimming somewhere. And she said, well, let's get the garden mulched and then you can go swimming. So they went out and they worked hard. They mulched that garden. And just as they were getting done with mulching the garden, a rainstorm came up or a thunderstorm came up and they couldn't go swimming. And they, I'm not sure they didn't blame my wife for that. But it's you know, these are times that we can teach our children to that we give up willingly and without grudging. You know, I'm sure they went swimming later. I'm sure they did, because I know they went swimming many times later. But, you know, use opportunities to teach our children. And again, may we use our own example to help teach them. You know, again, it's hard to teach somebody to give up their wants and their passions if to teach our children that, if I as a parent am unwilling to do that. When thou liest down and when thou risest up. You know, teach our children when to go to bed, when to get up. You know, I realize there are night owls, there are morning people, there are people who need very little sleep, and there are people that need more sleep. But in all of our lives, there needs to be a time to go to bed and a time to get up. I'm not saying we can't vary some, but a disciplined lifestyle brings much benefit to our children and to ourselves. A scheduled, self-disciplined life creates a happy and contented parent and child. So be scheduled, be self-disciplined, I guess would be the better word, be self-disciplined. Eight and nine, thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thy hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. Thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and on the gates. Reminding us as parents to be immersed in the will, in the Word of God. To have reminders around us in front of our eyes daily to remind us of God's will. You know, there can be notes and plaques on the walls. There can be notes in our trucks. Just keeping the Word of God in front of us. It's to remind us day by day what we are called to do. And when all this is happening, you know, God is warning the children of Israel here that when they have experienced the goodness of God, beware that you do not forget the Lord. Fear the Lord and serve him. All right, going over to Ephesians 6, verse 1 through 4. Says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, that thou mayest live long on the earth. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. And this is why I thought it would not be fair to place the burden of evangelizing all on the ladies' side. This needs to be a joint effort. The parents' effort, not just one or the other. They need to be working together. The phrase, provoke not your children to wrath, has the meaning of angering your children alongside of you. It says, ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath. Provoking, has the meaning of angering your children because you are angry. It says, don't do that. We know that action begets action. What I mean by that is hurting people hurt others. Is that correct? I think it is. Hurting people hurt others. because they are hurting, then they in turn hurt others. Angry people goad others to anger. You know, an angry response tends to bring an angry response to the person we're talking to. Joy is contagious as well. When a person is joyous or joyful, it's pretty easy to be joyful around him or her. So it's action begets action. So it's saying here, don't provoke our children to anger because we are angry, but bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. If I can find it here. Again, we teach our children how to respond to our, we teach our children how to control our emotions and responses by how we respond to life as parents. The nurture has the idea of education or training. We are training our children with example and also with disciplinary correction. That is what nurture means. We are educating them with disciplinary correction. The admonition is calling attention to what needs to be corrected by mild rebuke or warning. So this is the responsibility of us as fathers is to not provoke our children to wrath, but bring them up, train them with education and training, including disciplinary correction and calling attention to what needs to be corrected in our children. So what are some practical ways that we can teach our children about the ways of God? You know, it's not just, again, it's not just telling them about God and his salvation, which is very, very vital part of life or the message, but it's also telling them what God wants for them after they experience salvation, after they have given their hearts to the Lord. Then there is a growing, God is never satisfied, I don't think. Well, no, I should reword this. We should never be satisfied with our own life because we are constantly needing to grow closer to God. And God is using these circumstances, these things in our life to draw us closer to himself. Since that request came in, there was an article in the Beside the Still Waters by Dennis Martin. And if we go back to 1 Samuel 1, it's talking about Hannah. I want to read 1 Samuel 1, 9 through 20. Now, this is specifically talking to mothers. Or the way this is giving us Hannah's experience here. Verse 9, chapter 1, 1 Samuel. And so Hannah rose up after they had eaten in Shiloh and after they had drunk. Now Eli the priest sat on the seat by the post of the temple of the Lord. And she was in bitterness of soul and prayed unto the Lord and wept sore. And she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look upon the affliction of thy handmaid and remember me and not forget thine handmaid, but will give unto thine handmaid a man-child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. And it came to pass, as she continued praying before the Lord, that Eli marked her mouth. Now Hannah, she spake in her heart, only her lips moved. But her voice was not heard. Therefore Eli thought she had been drunken, or she was drunk. Eli said unto her, How long wilt thou be drunken? Put away thy wine from thee. And Hannah answered and said, No, my lord, I am a woman of a sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord. Count not thine handmaid for the daughter of Belial, for out of the abundance of my complaint and grief have I spoken hitherto. Then Eli answered and said, Go in peace, and the God of Israel grant thee thy petition that thou hast asked of him. And she said, Let thine handmaid find grace in thy sight. So the woman So the woman went her way and did eat, and her countenance was no more sad. And they rose up in the morning early and worshipped before the Lord, and returned, came into her house to Ramah. And Elkanah knew Hannah his wife, and the Lord remembered her. Wherefore it came to pass, when the time was come about after Hannah had conceived, that she bare a son and called his name Samuel, saying, Because I have asked him of the Lord. I would like to read some of the thoughts that this Dennis Martin wrote, talking about missionary mothers. Missionary mothers love their children. They see that their physical needs are well met to the best of their abilities. These mothers cooperate with missionary fathers in administering scriptural discipline when the children's carnal nature manifests itself in stubbornness, rebellion, or disobedience. Both parents are well aware of Proverbs 29:15, the rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. So missionary mothers love their children. They take well care of them to the best of their abilities. Now, the missionary mother doesn't have to do all this by herself. She cooperates with her husband in administering scriptural discipline when the children's carnal nature is manifested. Missionary mothers guide the house. They sing songs about Jesus, salvation, and heaven as they go about their daily responsibilities. They tell and read Bible stories to their little ones as the children sit on their knees beside them, or beside them. And already before the children can fully comprehend truth, these mothers will read the most important book to them, the Bible. Singing songs about Jesus, salvation, heaven, as they go about their daily responsibilities. You know, a singing mother creates a joyful home. You know, there's times to sing songs. There's times to read Bible stories. And, you know, I remember as my children were really small, my wife would sit out on the rocking chair and she would be singing, rocking the baby to sleep and singing. At 1, 2 o'clock in the morning, when a sick baby is in your arms and you're sitting on the chair and trying to get the baby to sleep and rocking in your, you're not singing the song, if you're happy and you know it, stomp your feet. You're not singing that song. You're singing maybe, Jesus loves me this summer. You know, kind of a soothing, you know, sleepy song. But, you know, when I remember one time I don't remember who it was in my children, I have no idea. But I was trying to get the child to sleep. And, of course, singing is not necessarily my strong point, but somehow I was singing, and I remember I was singing Jesus Loves Me. And in the song, in the middle of the song, I about fell asleep. Stopped rocking. Daddy, keep singing. So you knew the child wasn't even thinking of sleep. But it's at that time that you can continue to sing and bring glory to God and teach them that, you know, singing is always better than getting angry, getting upset or whatever. So sing songs to your children. Missionary mothers will sing songs of Jesus' salvation. You know, read to them Bible stories or just tell them Bible stories. You know, sometimes reading is not as personal as telling them. And they don't have to be very old before you start. Continue to read to them or to tell them stories. He says missionaries' mothers pray even before their children are born. And we see that in Hannah's experience here. She was praying to God, asking God for a child, and God answered that prayer. And she made a promise that if the child is born, if it's a man child, if it's a boy, she will give him back to the Lord as long as he shall live. So she prayed for the child. So missionary mothers will pray for your children. And the mothers pray for themselves too, because they realize that being a true missionary mother goes far beyond what they do with their natural abilities, what they can do. They need the strength of the Almighty. Missionary mothers also love their children's father and let him take the lead in parenting according to God's plan. The parents' united effort, influence, has an immeasurable effect on the children, and God will richly reward them for their faithful efforts. Now, this is the end of that quote, or the end of that reading. So missionary mothers pray, sing, read stories. These are all little things that can impress God upon your children when they are very small, when they're impressionable, when they don't have a lot of other things that is crowding their mind. A quote I read one time says the greatest thing a godly father can do for his children is to love God and to love the mother of his children. So fathers, if you want to bless your children, if you want to help your children, love their mother. Love God and love the mother. Mothers, if you want to help your children, it says the greatest thing a godly mother can do for her children is to love God, to respect and honor the father of her children. So if you want to be a blessing to your children, if you want to be a godly mother, then love God and honor and respect the father of your children, your husband. Great damage has been done to the mother that is out of her place and for the father that to not love his wife. You know, a passive husband and an aggressive wife that struggles in honoring, respecting, submitting to her husband's leadership will raise boys to be weak men, greatly contributing to hinder their ability to lead out in the way that God desires them to. These boys a lot of times need help. Someone else helping them to work through these issues and show them how to lead in a godly manner. A lot of times these boys coming out of these homes of passive husband and aggressive wife, a lot of times they struggle with much with moral impurity too, for some reason. So again, husbands, don't be passive. Wife, don't be aggressive. One that struggles in disrespecting and honoring your husband. Both of that will do untold damage in the home. A couple weeks ago, we were in Ohio. And after church, I was talking with a brother. And this brother made this statement. We were talking about worldly-minded mothers not being homemakers. Homemakers or primary child care givers as God would have them to be. And this is not his exact words, but this is the thought. He said, in order to teach and train our children, we need to be around them. We need to be close to them. And I think he meant physically and emotionally, but especially physically. You know, it's extremely hard to teach our child when we're not there. So may we take that challenge to be home as much as possible. Now I realize that a lot of us husbands and fathers work away from home, cannot be home during the day every day. And I realize the mothers become the primary caregivers during the day. However, as fathers, we need to be involved when we come home, when we are at home. We need to be interested in our child's life or children's lives, taking the initiative again to teach, train, and discipline. We can't just shove it off on the wife and expect the blessing to come out of that. We are still called to lead out in our home, even though we may be absent during the day. Okay, just a couple thoughts here. Teach them what pleases God. Again, we teach best by example. Let's use words if necessary. Teach them that God expects and loves obedience. And obedience is not dependent on who is around us or who sees us or who finds out what we did or didn't do. That is not what consists of obedience. Obedience is doing the right thing regardless who sees us or who doesn't see us. When parents do what they need to do consistently, it makes it easier for our children to understand the concept of obedience and practice it themselves. Teach our children that when mom and dad tells our child to do something, we can consider it done. That sometimes becomes quite a challenge. Because sometimes it goes in one ear and keeps right on going out the other, and it just never connects. Teach our children to love. We love, as parents, we love, not because we first love God, but because God loved us first. We love because we are content and completely satisfied in the love of God. 1 John 4:10-11, I might just read those verses to reinforce in our minds that we love God because he first loved us. 1 John 4:10. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought to also to love one another. Verse 19, we love him because he first loved us. God loves kindness, showing affection, not being unkind. We watch our words and our actions. We consider what our words and actions will do to those that hear us, how it will affect others. You know, we may not think that what we said hurt others or should hurt, but it does at times. It does hurt. So may we be careful in what we say and do, that it would be enveloped in love and kindness. Forgiveness, you know, forgive those that hurt us. Teaching our children to forgive. Teaching our children that when others hurt us, the Bible is teaching us to turn the other cheek, to let it go. You know, we don't always need to have the last word or hit the hardest. Be respectful. And this is a big one, I think, in all of our lives, but I have been personally trying to cultivate in my life more respect to others. The yes, sir, no, sir, yes, ma'am, no, ma'am. Instead of just, yeah, nope, you know, that type of thing. Be respectful, show respect. You know, there's still a struggle not to get impatient, fuss and fume, especially if, and my boys can, my wife can attest to this, when somebody sits at the light too long and you finally say, well, are you just going to sit there all day? You know, that's kind of the thought. You know, you get going. I mean, we got places to go and things to do. You know, sometimes they say, well, just calm down. And I need to. Respect other humans in our actions and help our children to understand that at a young age how to be respectful, how to act respectful. You know, when it's time to run and play and when it's time to be quiet. You know, sometimes in a crowd of people, there are people, there are little humans, little children, that are like almost like human cannonballs. They shoot here and shoot there, and you just don't know where. And they're ricocheting off people and off of walls, and it's just like they're everywhere at once. Let's teach our children to calm down, not to be little human cannonballs, not to be so loud. Let's treat our boys to treat their mother and sisters with respect, thanking them for the good meals they provide and the many, many things that they do for us. And let's teach our girls to remember that how you treat your father is how you will treat your husband someday if you get married. So if you start thinking and you remember how you treated your brother and your father and your brothers, is that the way you want to treat your husband? Remember, that is the way a lot of times it happens. the way the boys treat their mother and sisters will be the way that they treat their wife. And the girls, the way they respond to their father and to their brothers, a lot of times is the way they respond, will respond to their husband. All right, in closing, let's turn to Psalm chapter 78. Verse 2. Psalm 78, verse 2. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and his strength and his wonderful works that he hath done. For he hath established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers that they should make them known to their children, that the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children, that they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but to keep his commandments. This morning we don't just teach and train our children in the ways of God for our own benefit. Yes, we get the benefit, but we are teaching them so that we are trying to equip our children so that they in turn, as time goes on and as they have children, that they can teach their children to trust in God. That this is a perpetual thing. This is God's design that God's people can teach their children to love the Lord, that they in turn can teach their children to love the Lord, and it keeps on going. That is the desire of God in our homes. How are we doing this morning? How am I doing? How are you doing in this teaching and being a missionary to our children? Let's kneel for prayer.